Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Welcome, Kingdom. The Chiefs took care of the Arizona Cardinals last night in their second preseason game, 17-10. And I'm just here to do some quick observations from that game. I wasn't able to watch it live last night. But I did get about half of it watched late last night before my eyes got too weary and I had to go to sleep. And I woke up this morning and finished it. So I think really the first thing that jumped out to everybody was the first team offense just looking kind of off. Patrick Mahomes looking kind of off last night. I believe he was 10 for 18. But you could tell Reed was really wanting to force the ball to Mecole Hardman in that first quarter with Mahomes, try to build some chemistry. And for whatever reason, those two guys are just not clicking together at the moment. It's been that way for quite some time. Hopefully, you know, this will get better as we go into the season. You don't want to take too much from the preseason. They could be working on a lot of things behind the scenes. But you can just tell those two guys, the way they work, it just doesn't automatically click like it does with Mahomes and some of the other guys. But then Chad Henne came in, and Mecole Hardman, you know, he played in the second quarter. A lot of the starters played through the second quarter except for Mahomes. But Hardman looked great with Henne in there. He made at least a couple catches, had the touchdown, really good concentration play, really good body control. So I think Hardman had a good game all in all. It's just, you know, him and Mahomes don't see things alike. And I'm sure Mahomes would probably like Hardman to, you know, come around to his way of thinking on everything. But I think some of it is probably going to be Patrick Mahomes becoming more comfortable throwing the passes that Hardman likes. Like the pass that Henne threw to Hardman for the touchdown. I'm not sure that Mahomes throws that ball there. And, you know, obviously Mahomes can. I just don't think it's something that he's really been comfortable with throwing. But maybe for a guy like Hardman, that's the easiest play for him to make. Well, easiest, that's probably stupid. But you know what I mean. He can make that play if you give him the chance. Another thing that jumped out right off the bat. The offensive line, I didn't think looked quite as good in this game with the starters. Not that they played bad. I just don't feel like they dominated in this game. Arizona, of course, didn't play their two all-pro players, Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. So the offensive line, once again, had it a little bit easier. And, you know, the two things that really jumped out to me in this game were actually Brown and Tooney. I'm having a little bit of trouble, excuse me, and specifically with one guy, Xavien Collins, the rookie middle linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, shot gaps a couple times on both those guys. Tooney specifically with one run play where Tooney was pulling, coming across the formation, and he just couldn't get over there fast enough. He took one bad step. That might have been caused by the center getting pushed back too far. So it might not all have been, you know, his fault, but he definitely missed the block. The running back had to cut back in, and he got cleaned up by the other linebacker. And then, of course, Orlando Brown on a pass play. They blitzed to his side. He had two guys to cover to try to block, which, of course, is impossible. But he went for Xavien Collins, who was on the inside, and just missed altogether. So both guys got past him. And, of course, Collins on the inside, that's going to get to the quarterback fast. So, you know, there's still things they're working on. Brown, I could see that giving him trouble, you know, just forever because he's not a super quick-footed guy. You know, he doesn't have the quickest feet when he's out there. He's reaching a lot of times to get to those type of guys instead of getting his feet over there in front of him. It's just the way he's made. It's the way he plays. And he's probably strong enough if he does bend and lean and actually get a hold of him. He can slow him down. Tooney, you know, I think he's just working into the system. It's going to take some time. It's tough as a fan to know that you paid a guard, you know, that much money, and you want him to be like, you know, a superstar guard right off the bat. And, you know, for one thing, guards aren't really superstars. And two, that's not really how offensive lines work. They've got to work as one. And, you know, it's going to take some time for all that to come together. You know, Trey Smith, first running play of the game, they went right behind him. You can see the hole that he opened up. You can see, you know, everything they've been coming out of camp about him. You can see the hype. He's very strong. Once he sets his legs, you know, the defensive lineman might hit his upper body and bend him back a little, but they aren't moving his legs very much at all. Kelsey did play more in this game than I thought he would. They just, you know, you could tell they were trying, I think, to kind of stay away from him, kind of focus on other guys. And I'm honestly not sure if Tyreek Hill really played at all in this game. So, you know, the two main stars on offense definitely weren't out there. Kelsey was out there, but they weren't focal points of the offense in this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did start. You know, he looked good in his limited time, but it sounds like he twisted his ankle during the game, not in a high ankle fashion, so just a regular twisted ankle, which I'm sure those guys deal with, you know, all the time. So it doesn't sound too bad. With the other receivers, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, he was out there quite a bit in the first half. He didn't, you know, really stand out to me. I think we know what we have in DeMarcus Robinson. And, you know, he's going to make some plays, but he's not the flashiest guy. And he's probably not somebody that everybody is going to fall in love with. Byron Pringle, on the other hand, if you go back 2 or 3 years, I did a podcast where I basically just gushed about him for like 20 minutes straight. I've liked Pringle for a very long time. And, you know, all started with Matt Waldman. Caught him talking about Pringle coming out of Kansas State. And, you know, he got me all excited about him. That got me really looking into the guy. And he led the team in receiving last night. 4 catches, 63 yards. Had a great play where he ran down the seam. And he, you know, made a perfect throw. Hit him, he caught it. You know, took a pretty good shot, and, you know, he did leave the field there, but I think he was fine, and he's somebody that, you know, maybe he's not out there as much as DeMarcus Robinson, but I do think, you know, he can make an impact on games this season. You want to see that. And then out of the receivers the rest of the game, Fountain impressed again in this game. He was out there in the second half. But out of the receivers playing in the second half, he looks like the best one. Marcus Kemp also looks like he's got some ability. I always forget how big of a guy he is when I see him out there. I kept wanting to think that was Cornell Powell. But no, it's Marcus Kemp out there. And, you know, with his special teams play, he's probably got a shot to make this team. And then Cornell Powell, you know, he had a play or two, too. But I'm starting to think he's got a little bit of an uphill battle to make this roster. Maybe he is somebody that they tried to get to the practice squad. That's probably crazy talk, but it is something that is starting to kind of settle in my brain just a little bit that it's a possibility. The tight ends really stood out to me in this game, especially in the second half. Noah Gray got a lot of play throughout the game, but I was just impressed with his blocking last night. For a guy that you can tell isn't the biggest guy out there, he gets in there, he was getting in people's way, he was making blocks in space, and then holy cow, Jody Fortson. I know that they talked about it with a couple minutes left to go in the game, but I had actually been watching him through most of the fourth quarter because he was popping. You could just see, man, the guy's got arms that are as long as most people's legs, and he's got strength in them. You know, it's not like Marcus Kemp, who's got stupid long arms, and he's probably freakishly strong compared to me. But, you know, you can tell he has a harder time directing somebody. Where Fortson, man, he gets those hands locked on somebody with those long arms, and he's got enough strength in him to do some things. And even when he wasn't in position to make a great block, you know, on a couple of the quarterback runs, things like that, he had enough presence of mind to get in people's way. And, you know, I really liked what I saw from Jody Fortson. I've not been somebody that was high on Jody Fortson, especially, you know, as a wide receiver. But, man, he's really starting to impress me. You know, we know that Noah Gray is very well liked and that he is probably going to make this team and, you know, have considerable snaps this season. But I'm starting to think more and more that Fortson's going to find a way to sneak onto this team. And maybe Blake Bell is the guy that, you know, isn't able to make this roster. If they decide to only keep three tight ends. Or maybe they keep four at the start of the season, and then when LDT or Kyle Long, somebody like that, is ready to come back, maybe that's where they make the tough decision there after they've given them a few more weeks. Anyway, it's just something to kind of keep an eye on. I am absolutely spacing on the name of the tight end that we had that went to Arizona that caught the touchdown at the end of the game. But Arizona had a tight end catch a touchdown in the fourth quarter that used to be a Chief, and then he was a Colt. Chris Ballard signed him when we released him. He actually played quite a bit for the Colts, started some games. Anyway, he's in Arizona, and man, I hate that I'm spacing on his name. But I honestly thought Jody Fortson's upside was very similar to his, because I think they have similar receiving skills, but then the blocking is completely different. And you got to realize that Fortson's only been, you know, converting to a tight end since, you know, maybe sometime during the season last year was when it started going through his head. So the progress he's made to me is pretty outstanding. And then Noah Gray, like I say, you can tell he's doing the dirty work. He had a couple catches in the fourth quarter. You can see just a little bit of his quickness and speed. I definitely think he can be used as a option close to the line of scrimmage to help pick up first downs and things from Mahomes. You know, and I talked earlier in the offseason, I thought that might give Kelce more chances to stay close to the line of scrimmage and be the guy that helps pick up more first downs. And Gray might be stretching the field more. Now, through the first couple of preseason games, we really haven't seen Gray run any routes down the field. But that could be just kind of gamesmanship by Reed, or he might be thinking those roles are reversed. You know, keep Kelce running down the seams and making those plays and let Noah Gray work close to the line of scrimmage where his quickness, you know, can really pay off if he can get that kind of you know, camaraderie with Mahomes in that area. You know, with the running backs, you know, Fortson made a heck of a block. He did get rocked early in the second quarter making the block. Mahomes still had to run. But, man, those giant linebackers of Arizona, you know, he's so much bigger than Jerick McKinnon that, you know, McKinnon getting rocked and not losing his feet and giving Mahomes a chance to scramble. McKinnon did come back for a few plays after that. But I think he really showed his guts as a blocker and the fact that he was able to make a difference in the guy's route to Mahomes really showed a lot. Derwin Thompson was the fourth running back into the game. He looked pretty good. Everybody out there, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I love Derwin Thompson. I think the same podcast that I gushed about Ryan Pringle, I gushed about Derwin Thompson too. I loved him. And He's just not quite turned out the way I want him to. And, you know, he tries to do that jumping thing an awful lot, which seems pretty cool, but he's just not been landing it lately. And it's probably kind of dangerous for him. But I really thought he could dominate in the screen game. And he did make a couple good catches on screen passes last night, but the screens just weren't set up that well. And honestly, Arizona's linebackers are fantastic at getting sideline to sideline. They found a way to get huge linebackers that can flat out run. So be interesting to see those two guys when Chandler and Watt is out there during the regular season for Arizona. You know, on offense, Henny looked great as the backup. Both of the quarterbacks in the third and fourth quarter, they did really good jobs moving the ball. You know, I'm not sure which one will be the practice squad QB, but they've both shown a capacity to be that guy. And one last guy that did stand out to me on offense here was Michael Burton, the fullback. Got to see him make some special teams plays, some tackles. And then, you know, he was out there a little bit on some plays. He caught a pass. He turned upfield. You can see he's got a little bit of movement. He made a few blocks. And he does look a lot like Anthony Sherman out there, just the way he moves and keeps those legs moving. I know that him and Sherman are probably both my height, 6'1". But out there, they're so wide. Everybody else is so tall. They look like little guys who just keep their giant legs moving. And, you know, it's clear, I think, that he's going to have a role and probably make this team. I know a lot of us aren't exactly happy about carrying a fullback. But, you know, I'd rather have Fortson on the roster for sure. But the fullback's honestly probably more valuable to what Reed wants to do. Even if he only plays a few plays a game. Because how many plays is the fourth tight end going to play in a game? So that's one way to think about it. Now I guess we'll talk a little bit about the defense. One last thing about the offense real quick. I forgot to mention it, but I think the Chiefs had 17 different receivers catch a pass last night on offense. That is pretty amazing. I think, you know, we have that many guys involved. The quarterbacks are doing that well, getting the ball out. And the fact that, honestly, that all the offensive lines are holding up all the way through the third team. You know, in the preseason, you don't see that very often. Now, switching to the defense, a couple things just jumped out. One is Jarron Reed played quite a bit of this game. And he got a little banged up this last week in camp. I didn't think he'd play very much. But he did play, even got a sack, which was a cleanup sack because Tershawn Wharton made a heck of a play and destroyed the guard on it. But the quarterback then had to run up, and Reed was waiting for him. But man, Tershawn Wharton looks good. Saunders had another steady game. He just looks different. He looks broader. He looks thicker. I mean, he still got that belly that he had. But, you know, those nose tackles need a belly. But now he looks like he can, you know, rip your house apart. You know, and he's kind of playing that way. And you can see the speed in his game. You know, he's a nose tackle that can actually get out there and run. He had a good play last night where he ran a guy down from behind, pushed him out of bounds, like, you know, 20 yards out of bounds. I mean, he pushed the guy in the field of play, but man, the guy went flying. And that was just a little bit of a push. You know, you can see he's trying to play more violently. That is nice to see. Chris Jones, man, got to see him put a move on a tackle. And it looked just as smooth as it did when he was playing three tech. It was honestly kind of a similar move to what he used at three tech. And he got to the quarterback so fast. I'm a little bit surprised at how easy he's made this look so far. And I keep thinking that, you know, that's going to stop and he's going to have some struggles somewhere. But, man, he's not showing them yet. And then, you know, all the way down the line, Josh Kando, he had a couple impressive plays tonight. Colt McCoy made a terrible read on an option and just, you know, got lit up by him. You can tell Kando, his short area quickness, he's very, very fast. McCoy didn't know what hit him. And then he had a couple good run stops. Actually ran a guy down that picked up about 10 yards on a play. Caught him from behind a running back. So, you know, the effort's definitely there. Juan Thornhill played quite a bit last night through the third quarter, I think. He had an amazing interception, diving interception. You know, the guy's got some speed. You know, he's playing that deep safety. Zane Anderson was also out there in the second quarter playing the other safety spot. So, you know, the guy's in there in the second quarter. I definitely think he's at least somebody they want to keep around for the practice squad. And then the corners, they all looked good tonight. You know, they kind of continued what they had been doing. Mike Hughes had a couple of really nice plays. DeAndre Baker had some nice plays. And, you know, you want to see that continue. L'Jarius Sneed, early in the first drive, had a couple nice plays. So, you know, our corner play, even though they haven't been tested a lot yet, I think it's been all you can expect. Now, getting to the linebackers. You know, Willie Gay and Hitchens started the game. You know, Hitchens, I didn't notice him popping to me in this game like I did in the last game. It's very possible I wasn't, you know, just paying enough attention. I was focused on Willie Gay a lot. And, you know, it didn't always seem like he was taking the right first step on plays. But, man, if he's got to go the other direction, he can get there quick. You know, there were a couple plays where, you know, he might have made the wrong read and still got there and still made, you know, a play. And you love to see that. He's definitely somebody I think that can play, you know, week one, play a lot. And yeah, is everything going to be perfect? No, but his athleticism is so high that, you know, he's going to make a lot of plays for the Chiefs this year. And me and everybody out there, I think, is going to have a lot of fun watching him in the kingdom. I did want to give a shout out to Mike Dana while I'm thinking about the linebackers, because he covered a tight end on a play. It was like a, you know, tight end basically just ran straight out to the flat, got the pass. Mike Dana ran with him, tackled him right there on the spot, and for an instant, I was thinking, which linebacker was that? I'm like, was that Bolton? And, you know, new numbers, I still have to think about it for a second sometimes. And then I'm like, no, that was Mike Dana, the defensive end. Holy cow. You know, him and Bolton don't move that dissimilar. They move a little alike, even though I can't speak English. So, you know, props to Dana. Bolton did get a lot of play all the way, I believe, into the fourth quarter. And you can just tell the guy, I think, needs some work. I'm not an expert on linebacker play. But, you know, I've listened to a lot of, you know, the analysts out there in the kingdom, probably like you guys have. And you start to watch for things they talk about. And you can definitely see it. Sorry, there is an ambulance flying past my house here. You know, you can definitely see some of the things, how he'll get engaged with a blocker. And, you know, he has a little bit of a hard time getting disengaged. And I'm not honestly sure last night when I was watching if he really had that much trouble getting engaged or if he disengaged, sorry. Or if he just wasn't sure which path he needed to take. I think there's a little bit of indecision there. And if he could process that just a little bit faster, he probably sheds the blocks a little bit better. And then, of course, some pass coverage. You know, it's just, it's not super pretty out there. He's not super quick, but, you know, I think he'll get there. I definitely feel like he's somebody that they believe will put in the work, or they wouldn't have drafted him as high as they did. And, you know, as the season goes on, when we see him out there at Sam linebacker, get to see him blitz the quarterback a little bit, get to see him, you know, meet the running back head on a couple times. He's the type of player that will get our blood really going. And Willie Gay's the same way. If he gets a free shot on a running back, you're not going to be able to stay seated. You're going to be jumping out of your mind, because he's going to just damn near murder somebody out there in the football field, and that is fun to watch. I'm sure there are things I am forgetting, but that is what, you know, really stood out to me in this game. Tim Ward, he did, you know, keep looking impressive. Not maybe as impressive as he did week one, but, you know, he did flash a few times. There's a play where they actually dropped him in coverage and he got downfield. Now, you know, he had his back turned, and it was a pretty easy reception for the receiver, but I'm sure that's something that Tim Ward just hasn't done a lot of. And the fact that he was able to get down the field, and you can see the athleticism with the guy. And that is really all I've got. I will get back, later this week. We got one more preseason game to go, and then the regular season will be here. And I haven't done a single fantasy football draft yet, as far as, the season-long non-best ball type league. So I got two or three of those coming up, and I always look forward to that. Ready for the season to start. Hope you guys have a great week, and go Chiefs.